Invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, shortly here, consider the message, our Master's Prayer. Our Master's Prayer. And here in the Gospel of John, it is it's a blessed thing that our Lord has given us. Of course, all the Scripture is. But this is a Gospel that each of us need to be acquainted with. And I think we do well to be acquainted with all of the Gospels and to know the detail of the Gospels, to understand about our Lord and what He has done for us. And the Gospels describe that when the Lord Jesus came, became God the Son, became a man, and all the things that He did to purchase our salvation. These last chapters in the Gospel of John are a zoom in on the last days and hours of our Lord and the things that He experienced, the things that He said. And we do well to review this and to read this often, to meditate upon it. It's been given to us for a reason, and this zoom in again on these final hours of our Lord, the things that are on His heart, the things that He is pursuing His purpose, and the things that He is giving unto His church there, giving to us also as one of His churches, preparing them for His death, and yet telling them in summary, even though I am dead, I am in control, and trust in me, rest in me, and I will and am going to deliver you. In John chapter 12, I want us to read this here in verse number 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast. Passover is at hand, the Feast of Unleavened Bread after that. The same came therefore to Philip, one of the apostles, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. They wanted audience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, another one of the apostles, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. These fellows over here, they want to talk to you. They want to ask you some questions. They have something on their minds that they want to speak to you about. And Jesus answered them, saying, we don't have here in the Scriptures that He inquired, hey, what's on your mind? What do you need? But I think that what we have, the answer that they need, the answer that the apostles need, is what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing, what He is thinking. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So it talks about how it works with seed. And the Lord's not giving us an education about planting. He's talking about Himself. He's talking about the thing that you and I need to know too, that we need to die to self, following His example. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And that's a great challenge that you and I have before us, is that we want to take our life and use it our way, but the only way to really gain our life and to have our life is to use it up for our Lord's sake. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And the Lord's already told what his thinking is about this kernel of wheat, its necessity to die, and the fruit that it'll bring forth. You and I never planted a seed that we didn't expect to gain more, did we? It's not one for one, but it's always a multitude that comes from one seed. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be, right there by the Master. Not a long way away from the Master, not following a plan or a way that is not the way of the Master, but very near the Master, following the Master, not with lip service of the Master, but true fellowship and nearness to the Master, obeying the Master in His word. Not coming up with another word or another idea that we say is, well, this is my twist and the way that really works for me. No, obeying the Lord and what He has given us. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there all shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, we've been preaching much about service. being the servants of our Lord, him will my Father honor. The other ways that we, you and I, might seek, the Father won't honor those. But the way of the Lord that we follow after and follow him in, the Lord makes us a promise that the Father will honor us. Now is my soul troubled, Jesus says. We see this of his humanity and his calling all mixed in here together. He being divine, he is God in the flesh. But now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. I came, and understand these words he says before before Gethsemane. Everything we're going to look at this morning is before the Lord crosses over the Kidron, over into the Garden of Gethsemane, and where he prays regarding the cup that he takes petitions the Father about. Father, save me from this hour. So should I say that? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. He has been glorified. How? In the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the excuses, although the Lord made no excuses. Not in the reasoning of man and the way of the world. But he has been glorified. The Father has been glorified through the Son by the Son's obedience of him. Again, there's the example. The Lord Jesus is total and complete example to you and I as his children. He says, the Father says, I'll glorify it again. And I think he's speaking there of the Lord Jesus and what he'll accomplish on Calvary and in his resurrection too. The people, therefore, verse 29, that stood by, they heard it and they said that it thundered, you know, the rumbling of thunder. Others said an angel spake to him, but really couldn't tell what was said. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. I didn't need to hear from the Lord, the Father from heaven, but you needed to. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, speaking of his crucifixion, I will draw all unto me. And that is true. All will be dealt with by our Lord, either as his children, the saved, the redeemed, in salvation and being his own, or the unrepentant and the unbelieving. They will be called unto him, as he describes to us in John chapter 5. Then chapter 13 and verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. We see here as stated plainly by Brother John in his gospel here in chapter 13, verse 1, our Lord's love for us. And how does it stand with our love for him? How does it stand for our love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Did the Lord Jesus Christ only speak about his love for us? Did he only just tell great accounts and great stories about his love for us? The way that he invented or determined himself in his love for us? Or did he show his love for us? He showed his love for us indeed, didn't he? He showed it. And it was all in obedience to the Father. Our Lord Jesus was not a freelancer. You and I are not to be freelancers. We're not to seek our own way, but we're to follow our Lord and what he has given unto us. And we have that right here in his word. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. How will it be with our love? I pray that our love would be unto the end, that we would love our Lord unto the end as he has loved us. And we're so tempted and tried and deceived and seduced by this world and by our own thinking. May the Lord help us as we introspect and we consider about our lives in the light of our Lord's word and what he has told us. Then we come to John chapter 17. Indeed, the Lord's prayer, our master's prayer here. And I want to read this morning that you and I might hear and we might see. This is before, again, he goes into Gethsemane. This seems to be on the way, but from the upper room, to Gethsemane there. We see plainly in chapter 18 that when he had spoken these words, he crossed over the brook and went into the garden. So these things, there's a time of prayer that the Lord had here, and Brother John, it was given by, Brother John took account of it. The Holy Spirit of the Lord helped him with it. And when it came time to write his gospel, John knew the words that the Lord Jesus spoke. And I want you and I this morning to just hear our Master's prayer and see the things that are important to him, see the things that are on his heart as he is facing certain death within hours. By this time tomorrow, he will be in the grave. By this time tomorrow, at these words that he is speaking here, he will be hours in the grave. And listen to what's on our Master's heart. These words spake Jesus and lifted his eyes up to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Life eternal is knowing God and knowing his Son. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. There's something in that that the Lord has a great desire. There's been something that and doubtful that we could ever comprehend it here while we're here on this earth. But there's something that the Lord Jesus laid down. There's something that the Lord put aside. I don't know how else to describe it. There's something that the Lord Jesus has not been able to experience. And he looks forward to experiencing that again. He says, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before time, there's something there that the Lord Jesus has set aside, laid aside, put from himself, what was necessary in his experience and in becoming a man, something. And he desires that again. He will have that again because we know and understand that he is totally and completely obedient to the Father. I have manifested or shown forth thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. How do we keep his word? Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. They know that this work, my purpose, my working, my coming is from you. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And I want you to be mindful of how many times the Lord uses words. Those words, those things spoken by our Lord, breathed from him, breathed from his mouth, breathed from heaven, breathed into this book that we have here that our Lord has given unto us. For I have given them the words that thou gavest me, and they have received them. They've received them. They've taken them to heart, to life, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And we do, don't we? We believe that he is the Savior. He is the one that we should adore. He is the one that we are to serve. He is the one that we are to cleave to and to hang on every word, making no excuse for any distraction or disturbance in that. He says in verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I pray that we do glorify our Lord. I pray that we, as we get up each day, as we get up Lord willing, tomorrow morning, and we awake from our sleep, that we will seek to glorify our Lord in all that we do and all that we pursue. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. These are the thoughts and the heart of our Master as he's facing Calvary in the coming morning. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. The Lord Jesus, one with the Father. And his desire and his purpose and his plan is for us to be in unity and oneness with him and with the Father, with God Almighty. And do we think about that? Do we pursue that? We need to do so. Unity with our Lord. Singleness of heart, as we've seen in our study and look-see in the Scriptures about being a servant. The servant is single on his master, not listening to the subterfuge or others that would pretend or look to be his master, but unity and singleness on the desire and purpose and work of the master. While I was with them, verse 12, in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Kept by our Lord. Kept here in this world. Kept in the name of the Father and by the power of God Almighty. That is whose we are and who keeps us. And now I come to thee, verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. It's the only way that the children of God will have joy. Everlasting joy, peace, and contentment is in our Lord and what he has given us. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus is not of the world. Are you and I of the world? We are not to be of the world. Being the children of the Lord, we are not of the world. And we are not to represent and pursue being of the world. It's our desire to the world or unto our Lord. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, verse 15, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. The evil. It's a message and a subject unto itself. What would you say the evil is? Keep them from the evil. Being kept from the evil. We do indeed know that we need kept from the evil, don't we? We need kept from the evil. What is the greatest disgrace that the child of God can be involved with before his Savior, her Savior and Lord? Unbelief. Not believing him. It's the stem of everything that you and I would get involved with that is ungodly, unbelief. Oh, we hear the Lord say it, but it's just not convenient. We hear the Lord declare it and command it, but it's just not what we want to do, the evil. I pray that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify, set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We see our mission. And for their sakes I sanctify myself. I set myself apart for their sakes, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. To be set aside, to be set apart, to be a peculiar and special people unto the Lord, his children, set apart by his truth, his word. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And that is in particular speaking about you and me today. The work of the gospel, the work of our Lord's churches, the work of our Lord, and all of these things that he has done and accomplishes and is doing has brought you and I to salvation. He's speaking to us. He has done this for us. This is not a sign line, a sideline, or a hobby in heaven, but our names, our church, our souls have been dealt with and been rescued and are being talked about and considered in glory at the throne room of God. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one. Unity, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. To be that unified, as the Son is with the Father, and the Father is with the Son. That's the thinking of the Lord Jesus within less than 24 hours of him going to Calvary and dying. He's thinking about and considering and praying to the Father that we might be unified in him. That they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. No man cometh to the Father but by the Son. And the Lord desires that for us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Our unity in our Lord and in our Savior Jesus Christ is a testimony to a lost and dying world that Jesus has come. The Savior is at hand. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we are the witness of these things unto this world. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. That they may be one, even as we are one. Glory given to you and I. Fellowship with God Almighty. The touch of our Lord upon our lives. He has given us yet even that glory. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, mature, in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. To be on par with the love of the Father towards the Son, that the Father would love us and does love us the same. Our Lord's praying these things unto the Father on our behalf. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Not only a unity and a singleness here as we live and walk on this earth, to be in the physical presence of our Lord, to be with him. He desires us to be with him. And may the Lord help us as we consider life and as we walk through life. How is our desire to be with him? He desires for us to be with him. How is my desire as I walk and I live to be with him? Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. We look forward to that which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. To know that glory, to know and experience that glory, to experience and to be in every whit. We're separated physically from our Lord, but he desires that we physically, and will bring us physically to be with him. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these, his children, have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And then, what's he do? He submits himself to, Brother Bobby read some of it this morning and has been reading it. He submits himself to the Jewish leadership who accuse him falsely and treat him terribly. Dishonor him so, and then take him before the civil authority, Pilate and Herod, and he submits himself to that, saying not a word before Herod and saying very few things before Pilate. as the brother read this morning, and as we saw, it is so that the Lord Jesus, by the civil authority, was found to be innocent. No cause of death in him. He spoke these things. He prayed these things unto the Father. And you know what? He really, really means them. And he did it. And he did it for you and for me. What a Savior we have. What a Savior we have. A Savior that loves us so. A Savior that loved us unto the end. And does love us. And it's interesting, there's an end in the accomplishment of the things that the Lord has done for us. He has fulfilled the gospel. He has risen from the dead. There's an end to those things. But then, with our Lord, there's an aspect too, that His love for us will never end and is eternal. And so He submitted Himself to those things. He was taken, and in that by the Roman soldiers, was abused in that way. We looked at that recently about how He submitted Himself to them mocking Him so. This idea of Him being a king, where that came from, and that triumphant entry into Jerusalem was a galling and a terrible a plague of mind to the Jewish leadership. They just could not get past that. That our Lord Jesus was glorified in that, yet it was very, very humble. And then they took Him and they put His own clothes on Him, and they took Him out to Golgotha, and they put Him on a pole, they put Him on a cross, and He was lifted up, nailed to that cross, there between heaven and earth, between two thieves, in the company of two thieves. And there He paid for our sins. There the sacrifice of God, the Lamb of God, was offered. And then He willingly died for our sakes.